And Peter said, because we're looking for the coming of the Lord, we're to be holy. The Lord said, be holy, for I am holy. So God declares, and Paul wrote the same thing, that in Thessalonians, that we're to be holy because Jesus is coming. Hallelujah. So I heard Brother John Gabbard say that, and then last year, Brother L.D. Savage was preaching for us in our camp meeting, and he said, the Lord said to him, there will be a revival among the holiness churches. Do you believe that? Do you believe that?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Now, when the Lord laid this on my heart, for some reason, I went and got this book. And I read something that this man said just over in Indiana, just over the line from Kentucky. And I thought it rather strange because he said it in 1958, on October the 5th. I was to preach for Brother John Gabbard October the 5th, 2005. And I thought that kind of strange. But here's what he said. He first, in 1958 when he was preaching, he first commented on an article in Life magazine which stated that the Pentecostal movement was adding more converts to their churches than all the other churches combined. He concluded with this, and here's his words, as he said them, it's a quote from him. Why? Talking about the Pentecostal people. They may be mixed up in some things, but brother, they're gallant. That is, they have spirit and courage. He said they're gallant. They stand out there toe to toe and call black, black, and white, white. When the revival finally comes, it'll break among them. You watch and see if it doesn't. It'll get straightened out one of these days. Imagine that. He was reading an article whenever we were adding more people to our churches and all the other churches combined, and he spoke of a later day out revival and said when it breaks, it'll break among the Pentecostal people. And he didn't say just any kind of Pentecostal people. He said it's those that will stand out there toe to toe with the world and call black, black, and white, white. Hallelujah. In other words, they wouldn't cut no corners. They wouldn't move you any errors of just supposition. They'd be clear and distinct in what they were preaching to you. Just for what it's worth. The man's name was William Marion Branham. Brother Branham, can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? Hallelujah. Now, his people won't acknowledge that. You never hear him preach on that. But that's what he said. I'm just telling you what he said. Praise the Lord. That kind of thrills me. I don't know about you, but I like that. I don't agree with him on everything. I don't have to. Because he said, if you don't see it, you don't see it. And I don't see it. I've had these people try to convert me. And I said, look, I don't see that. I just don't see those things. But I will acknowledge that God used him. Amen. Praise the Lord. In fact, my wife had a sickness. And it was terrible. And some of my folks sent off for a prayer call back in 1959. The year after this was done. And that prayer cross came and that sickness left. Thank God for it. Hallelujah. Well, boy, you scare me. Hallelujah. I want to preach tonight on a little different subject. It's connected. But I'd like to preach on the day of the Lord. Not the coming of the Lord, but the day of the Lord. It's altogether a different thing. I hope that don't upset your theology. But Paul wrote, I read this to you last night. For they themselves shew of us, this is 1 Thessalonians 1 and 9, what manner of entering in we had in you. How you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us. He delivered us and will deliver us from the wrath to come. Hallelujah. You got your Bibles? I can't preach everything that's in my mind. I just can't do it. I'm trying to pick up what I should. All right? Second chapter, verse 14. For ye, brethren, became followers of the church of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. I told you last night, these people were under great tribulation. They're having a lot of persecution. Who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God and are contrary to all men. That's the Jews. This is what Paul said. Forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always. Fill up their sins. You remember where God told Abraham when he told him that he was going to bring him through, he wasn't, going to do anything yet for the Amorites, when he said their cup wasn't full yet. But there come a time when you deal with that. And he said, the Jews, and I suppose maybe some of these others, are fighting us and trying to keep us from speaking to the Gentiles that they might be saved. They're filling up their sins. Talking about the Jews then. For the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. Hallelujah. There's some other things that I want to... Yes, I want to read this to you. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence and not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once again, but Satan hindered. Listen. For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His arrival or His coming? That's our hope. That's our joy. And it was so much that I noticed over in the fifth chapter where the Bible talks about us, about it, if I can see it here, and I hope I can read it here. Let us, fifth chapter and eighth verse, let us who of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Amen. And for a helmet, it's the same word, don't feel bad when I say this, for a helmet, the hope of deliverance. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet, of salvation, and the word of the Lord. No, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of the Lord. That's it, isn't it? Hallelujah. Take for a helmet. The salvation, hope of salvation. Amen. The sword of the Spirit, the word of God. And so Paul is telling us here, the thing's going to keep you in trials, you young church. You church that hasn't been around too long. You church that's got started. You church that's wondering why. Amen. I've written to you. There's some things I thought I was going to do, but I won't. Amen. Written to you about the coming of the Lord. I preached to you about the coming of the Lord. Remember this in your trials. The thing that's going to help you to remember, He's coming again. It'll keep your mind. Hallelujah. For amen. God has not appointed us unto wrath, but obtained deliverance or salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as He also did. Am I reading too much? I thought today when I thought, Lord, there's going to be a lot of reading here. I remember Jonathan Edwards preaching on that message, Sinners and Angry God. They said he leaned his head on his hand and read his message word for word. Yet God got in that thing, and people fell in the aisles and fell into the altars or whatever they had for a prayer and screamed and begged God for mercy and got saved. But people have been taught so long that you was either predestined to be saved or predestined to be lost, that 8 men at least committed suicide because they felt like they could never be saved. My God, what anointing. I'd like for the Lord to anoint me tonight. Not that someone might commit suicide, but they might be stirred depth of their soul. Huh? Praise the Lord. I'm still just trying to pick out some things. I remember that this is a verse here that we use a lot of times to prove that the Lord can't come. Now we beseech you, this 2 Thessalonians 2 chapter. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, nor be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter. And I commented on this last night, that's from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. They tell me that that should be the day of the Lord. I won't argue that. I don't know. I know other places when it talks about the day of Christ, it's talking about His coming. But I'm not here to argue that. Then let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth all, who opposeth and exalt himself above all that is called God, and that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, shewing himself that he is God. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. He's not just talking about that. He's talking about all this other stuff. They tell me that word told is in the imperfect tense. That means Paul said, I repeatedly preach this to you. Right. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Then shall the wicked be revealed. Well, we can argue about that all night long. I'm not going to argue with you at all. I'm just going to simply tell you that there's coming the day when Jesus is coming again. And I don't have time to get in on this. I could, but I won't. I said I could. I couldn't right now because my mind ain't direct that way. But I want you to know that the Lord is coming. And when He's coming, He's coming to be glorified in His saints. Because they will be with Him. Hallelujah. When He comes in that day of the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? Is that all right? Listen to this again. The first, 7th verse. Let me go back to the 6th verse of the first chapter of 2 Thessalonians. See, it is a righteous thing with God to recompense for tribulation to them that trouble you. And you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints and to be admired in all them that believe. Because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God will count you worthy of His calling, or that invitation. That's what that word means, an invitation. God will count you worthy of this invitation, and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and you in Him, according to the grace of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever He comes, even in vengeance, it's going to be one of the most glorious things you can imagine. Amen. I don't know if I brought it with me even, but I like what a man said on those scriptures. I may have not brought it, so I don't know. It's a shame for a man to seek God and want to do good and can't do good, but I'm trying. Hallelujah. I believe that Jesus is coming again. That's just my head. Amen. I wish I would believe it like the early apostles and the early church did when they believed it. Amen. When God got to dealing with me about this, And I got to looking at this very scripture. And I looked at this and I ran across some scriptures. I wrote it down just so I wouldn't have to read it later. And I may have not brought that, but I can tell you where it's at. Acts 2:42-47. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. All that believed were together and had all things common, sold possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. Acts 4:32-35. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither was there any set of any of them that ought of the things which he possessed for his own, but that all things common. Great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Great grace was upon them. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the price of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and this distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And in one place it said, and God added to the church daily such as should be saved. You see what I'm saying? I'm praying, God help me. Now I believe the Bible said John Mark's mother had a house. I believe people had homes they lived in. I believe Ananias and Sapphira, when they sold the land, they had a right to do what they wanted with it. I don't believe it was a communist type government. But I believe that people are so thrilled with the coming of the Lord. Like I told you last night, whenever those people caught the vision down there at Thayer, Missouri, Pentecost first came there in about the year of 1907. Amen. They fenced their farms with green posts, said it'll last till Jesus comes. You see what I'm saying? I'm praying, God, make me so aware of your coming, that you're coming again. And make me so aware that when you do come, this old world is going to be looking for a time like they've never known before. Help me to do it, Brother Mike. Help me believe it so strong that I'll strip myself of everything. I mentioned last night what I'd like to do for my family, what I'd like to do for my unsaved son. But I'd like to get such a vision of the Lord coming that I just say, Lord, it don't matter. And if the time comes whenever I lose everything and the government comes in and steps off and takes it, I'll take joyfully the spoiling of my goods, knowing in myself that I have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Hallelujah. That's what I want. Hallelujah. Amen. If we could catch that. Amen, sister. Amen. I think about your husband. I came, preached directly to my son that night. Oh, yes. Amen. Brother Keith preached it right to my son. Now my son was touched because he read his life story to him and never seen him before. I prayed. Now I think of how your heart is so heavy many times over the loss of that precious husband. But if you can just look at it, it'll just be a few days. And it won't matter. We'll all go to the same place. Hallelujah. He's coming again. He's coming again. But few are preparing for the coming of the Lord. Many are working toward the day of the Lord. That's a terrible time. The Bible don't paint a pretty picture about the day of the Lord. The coming of the Lord is wonderful. But the day of the Lord. You know, I was over here praying today, and I thought of Scripture. And I didn't have my concordance with me, and I said, Lord, you know, I didn't want to go back over and bother the ladies and what have you. And I said, Lord, I know that's in the Bible. I know it, but I can't remember where it's at. And I was praying. Did you ever pray this kind of do like this? Oh, God, I wish I knew. I wish I knew. I just, something stopped me. And I looked down, and my Bible's open right to that scripture. Just like that. And it was Amos 5:18-20. Woe unto you that desire, that is a natural desire, like a desire for food. You're eager, you covet. You longly wish for, he said. Woe unto you that longingly wish for the day of the Lord. To what end is it? For the day of the Lord is darkness and not light. As if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him. Or went into the house and leaned his hand on the walls and a serpent bit him. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light? Even very dark, no brightness in it. When that day comes, my friend, the hope of the coming of the Lord, there'll be no light for that. Think about that. I know this is not very good preaching, but it's doing the best it can. Amen. Brother, I know McDonald's praying hard right now, but anyway, I'm talking about few are preparing for the coming of the Lord, but many are working toward the day of the Lord. The first time that I ever remembered about the reading the day of the Lord, the Bible told us exactly why that day of the Lord would come. One of the reasons, I should say. Isaiah 2 and 12. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up. That word means everyone who declares their independence. Can't you see that in the church? Preacher, I don't care what you say. Sunday school teacher, I don't care what you say. I don't care what mommy and daddy believe. I'm going to live my life. It's my life. I'm going to enjoy it while I'm here. Amen. And the Bible said, the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone. Why should I come to church on Sunday morning? I'd rather be on the lake. That's my decision. I work 6 days a week. It's my decision. The day of the Lord of hosts shall come upon everyone that is proud and lofty. James said, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. And as Proverbs 10 and 13, I believe it is, or 13 and 10 it is, said, amen. Only the pride cometh contention. You wonder why we have so many much contention in churches sometimes? We have so many independently minded people. Huh? All right. Hallelujah. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. Think about that. Isaiah 13 and 6, I'm not going to read this. You might write them down if you want to. Just write it down, you can read it later. But Isaiah 13, 6 to 11, it tells us how the day of the Lord will be the stars. Sun and moon is darkened. Earth moved out of its place. And the Bible said in verse 9, that day is a day of wrath. Oh, yeah. Paul said they forbid us to preach to the Gentiles. And the reason why we wanted to preach to the Gentiles was keep them from that day. We wanted them to be prepared for the coming of the Lord, but they wanted us to say nothing because the devil wants as many as he can trapped in the day of the Lord. All right. Hallelujah. And again, Isaiah 30 and 7. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble. But I like what he says, that he shall be saved out of it. That's another reason why the day of the Lord is coming. Not only chastise the proud and the lofty, but it's to bring Israel back to her King, her Lord, her God. Hallelujah. Am I doing all right? Joel 2, 1 through 11. I'm not reading this, but I'm just telling you. It's a day of darkness and of gloominess. That word gloominess means a thick darkness, a calamity, a distress, wretchedness. The day of wretchedness. A day of clouds and of thick darkness. It would seem that all the evil forces in the world are marshaled, and then the Lord will bring his host to fight against them, because that verse 11 tells how the Lord will gather his host together. It'll tell us how there in Joel it talks about how those armies will seem to be invincible. They'll leap over walls. They'll be hurt and they'll not fall. Wounded, they'll not die. They'll just keep going forward. Amen. Tell us all about that. When I think about that, I know this is not a very good comparison, but when I think about that, I think about reading one time how the police have started carrying, you know, the heaviest revolvers they can with those hollow-nosed bullets. And you know why? Men are so high on dope that you can't shoot them and them fall like they used to. You got to have something to knock them down. Amen. You shoot them, they'll still kill you. Amen. So it's not a .38 police special they carry anymore. That's too little. That's too light. They got to carry something that will kill that person in such a way it'll knock him down. But the Bible says that these men will be that way. And they'll see him invincible. It looks like the whole world is going to be swallowed up by these armies that seem so violent and so wicked and ungodly. But in that hour, amen, the Bible tells us that God will marshal his host to fight against them. Thank God. The book of Revelation tells us what a great army that will be. What a wonderful sight it will be. Hallelujah. Praise God. Joel 1:15 says, "Alas for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty, it shall come." You desire the day of the Lord? You want the day of the Lord? Not me, brother. I want the Lord to come. I know it will come. I know. Let me read you something. I'm going to skip over. I'm getting ahead of myself here. But let me read you something about that. Amen. I know that Him coming will cause that to come also. I can't help but want that to come because I want Him to come. Peter writing in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, and he began to write in here. If I can find it here, and I know it's there. It's in the New Testament, 3rd chapter. "This second epistle, beloved, I will write in you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us, the apostle, the Lord, and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers walking after their own lust, and say, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they are willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens are of old, and the earth standing out of the water, and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished." He said they're willingly ignorant of the fact that one time God judged this world, and God caused a flood to come and destroy this world. He said they're willingly ignorant of that. They will not accept it. They will not have it. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Amen. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. One day was with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Again, I remind you of the quote from Jude last night, where Enoch, the seventh of Adam, prophesied of these things, "Behold, the Lord cometh." Hallelujah. That's what made him walk with the God for 300 years, is when he saw the Lord was coming. I know it talks about 10,000 of His saints to execute judgment of all. But the thing of it is, I want you to see, is the fact that he said the Lord cometh. And Jude said that it was for our present day. It hadn't just happened in the flood. It's still going to happen today. The Lord is going to come, and judgment is going to follow. Oh, I want you to know. Amen. I want you to know. I want to be ready to go. I want to be right there. Hallelujah. Where will I be when the last trumpet sounds? When it sounds so loud as to wake up the dead, where will I be? I want to be, brothers and sisters, at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Hallelujah. I want to be basking in the love of God. I want to know the joy. Amen. I want to know that. And so whenever that man was born, I said his name was Methuselah, and he lived 969 years. Why? Because the Lord, the Enoch named him. When he is dead, it shall come. There's nothing going to stop it when he dies. The same year that Methuselah died, God's judgment fell. He knew that. But God is long-suffering. That's what the Bible said. The Lord is not slack as some men count concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Hallelujah. Oh, it seems like a long time. He hasn't come yet. But now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. But I want you to go ahead and listen to me and read with me here. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then, all these things shall be dissolved. What manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Let your manner of life be a life of holiness and godly living." Hallelujah. Listen to this. "Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the hell of elements shall melt with the fervent heat." But I like this next word. Nevertheless. Hallelujah. Glory. He said that's hard stuff. That's tough stuff. Nevertheless. Hallelujah. The day of the Lord is coming. Judgment is going to fall. This world's going to be chastised. Amen. The world is going to look like it's going to totally perish. Amen. Hallelujah. Except the Lord would cut things short, it would perish. But God is in control, my friend. He's in control of this thing. And nevertheless, We, according to his promise, look for a new heaven, earth, new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. This world is working for the day of the Lord. But I'm trusting by the grace of God that the Lord Jesus is coming. Hallelujah. And I'll see that new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherein, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, clean inside and out, he said. Hallelujah. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Account that the long-suffering of our Lord, just because he hasn't come yet, just because he hasn't come in 1952 when I got saved, 53 when I got saved, just because he hasn't come in 2006, that doesn't mean he's coming. He's still coming again. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I realize the reason why he's waiting is because he's long-suffering usward, not willing that any should perish. He sees our children. He sees our lost loved ones. He sees those that we care about. Amen. He's long-suffering usward. We're not going to perish, but we got those out there that are will perish. But I'll tell you, my friend, if you're going to get them saved, you're going to have to start telling them repeatedly, Jesus is coming again. And when he comes, I'll be taken away. You'll be left behind. It'll be a terrible time. Oh, my daughter. Oh, my son. Oh, my grandchild. Prepare for the coming of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! Can I read you something? Praise God. Oh, I want to read you. Talking about the long-suffering of God. Peter on the day of Pentecost preaching. I want you to listen. He said, this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. He'll come to pass and saith the Lord, in the last day, saith the God, I'll pour out on my spirit all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Young men shall see visions. Old men shall dream dreams. On my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. I will shew wonders in the heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and notable day of the Lord come. He is telling them, my friend, this outpouring, amen, is going to last, amen, until the day of the Lord. I'm glad of that, aren't you? Hallelujah. It's still here tonight. You still be saved and sanctified and baptized with the precious baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's still rest today. Peter on day preached. He didn't say the sun is going to be darkened. Amen. The moon turned into blood just because I'm preaching this. But he ain't telling I. He said, I'm telling you, God by his mercy through the baptism of the Holy Ghost is ushering in a day of grace that will last through the long suffering of the Lord. Those days when the Lord looks down and has mercy just for a few that's praying and seeking God. Has mercy because he sees the need of them, those loved ones being saved. Thank God for salvation. Hallelujah. Thank God for deliverance. Thank God for the coming of the Lord. Thank God the same God will send revival and conviction upon our lost loved ones and make them realize that he's coming again. They better get ready. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, I read to you that from Amos 5 and 18. The coming of the Lord is an event of rejoicing and to be desired. The day of the Lord is to be feared. Hallelujah. In Zephaniah 1, 14 through 18, tells us how the mighty man will cry bitterly in the day of the Lord. Again, God says that the day will involve trouble, this darkness, wasteness, desolation. And in that scripture, it tells us that all efforts for defense will be hopeless. And finally, he concludes by telling them neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. I'll tell you what, my friend. If you had all of O.J. Simpson's wealth, it won't help you in that day. You'll not be able to bow off that judge. Huh? Hallelujah. I remember several years ago, maybe it was, I can't remember now, a guy was in trouble. He went to the lawyer, his lawyer, he got a lawyer. And he said, what can I do? He said, I can get you out of it. It'll cost you $3,000. That's not much by the fees today. He said, $3,000. He said, yes. He said, I can get you out of it. He said, you'll never come to court. It'll be sold out. Whatever I guess that was. This man said, all right. He said, I'll do it. And I don't know if you asked the lawyer, Connie, how that was, what that $3,000 for. The lawyer said, you see, he said, $1,000 is for me, $1,000 for the judge, and $1,000 for the prosecuting attorney. Hallelujah. But God says in that day, your gold and your silver won't be worth a nickel, because you're facing the one made the gold and the silver. In that day, you won't buy your way out. You won't fast talk your way out. That's the day of the Lord. That's when judgment begins to fall. Zephaniah 1 and again says, is the day of wrath. Isaiah 6 and 9 says, the day of the Lord cometh with wrath. Oh, my. Isaiah 13 and 9 says, he shall destroy the sinners out of it. Amos 9 and 8, behold, the eyes of the Lord God are upon the sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from off the face of the earth. Save it, that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob. Remember, Jeremiah 37 said it's Jacob's trouble. Ooh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I got a strange feeling one time. I was looking at where those gates of pearl. And I know that represents our trials and afflictions. But I remember in the book of Job, Job said that the pearl wasn't even mentioned among the Jews. You know, they didn't care about that. Hallelujah. But the Gentiles loved pearls. That was a rare jewel to them. They loved it. Hallelujah. And I said, there's gates of pearls up there. There's a Gentile bride coming. And God's got the pearly gates ready to swing open. We'll love it when we see it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Behold, the eyes of the Lord upon this temple kingdom. I'll destroy it from off the face of earth. Saving. Thou will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, saith the Lord. For lo, I will command and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations. Like as corn is sifted in the sieve. Yet, you know, that's wheat or barley. It's not corn like we know corn. Said, yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. Can you imagine that? A God can shake this world like he's going to shake it and not lose anything that he wants to keep hold of. Hallelujah. What a God. What a God. Hallelujah. Amen. All the sinners, my people, shall die by the sword, which say, the evil shall not overtake nor prevent us. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen. Close the breaches thereof. I'll raise up his ruins. I'll